The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, Thursday, May 21st. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. No, I'm not going to be talking any speech for Thurin for today, but I have a treat for you. So listen up. I have one Carlisle Bethel in studio. I mean, social media was going wild when I announced that, yeah, Carlisle is going to pass through on Guardian Radio AM. And the youth of the country, like those who are under 40, got excited, started buzzing. I said, well, who is this Carlisle Bethel? Why so much people inbox me saying, ask him this, ask him that, right? So I said, I should ask the questions. But there's excitement over his name. So I'm going to try to find and understand why there is so much excitement over this Carlisle Bethel. And when I speak to him, they call his middle name too. And I said, that's odd. I thought they only do that for me. You know, I'm C.A. Nuri. So I'm excited to have Carlisle Bethel in studio. And I'm going to be asking him about his political career, his political narrative history, because I want to actually understand who he is. So instead of just talking politics, I'm going to be talking Carlisle Bethel in politics. And then we're going to be talking some F&M business, right? Because some things happened inside the F&M, and we, constituents, the general public, are watching and say, what? What? And I finally get someone here to explain, from a youth perspective, what is happening within that political party and where the F&M is going from his vantage point. So I welcome you again, Mr. Bethel. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, CA. It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning to the Bahamas. And I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
You're no stranger to Guardian Radio. You're here all the time in your professional capacity. But now we're here in like a political capacity trying to understand you. Your family has been in politics for a while, right? And I want to start from there of giving a narrative of your family being in your particular party, the F&M party, Free National Movement, and then how you got involved and where do you stand inside the party? Because once upon a time, I thought you gave up on politics. Because I knew you as a young man in this Torchbearers Association. Then Carlisle went silent. And then all of a sudden, you're active and passionate and involved and intricately involved in F&M business. So I want to, again, get that narrative on you at the beginning. You, when you step back for a minute, you being active in the party where you're part of the tapestry, part of the fabric, and you going forward.
So thank you for that, CA. And truthfully, my family's history in politics starts in the PLP. My grandfather, Sir Arthur Folks, who was a leading member in the fight for majority rule. He was a journalist, and his sons got involved. Some of his sons got involved in politics. My father was involved in politics. He met my mother in politics, in the Torchbearers. And truthfully, from an early age, I was raised to believe in and understand the value of service and the value of giving back. And I was taught a lot of it by my mother, that the greatest measure of your life is the level of service that you provide to other people. She always says life is about service. And so that would be the foundation of Carlisle Bethel. And naturally, I gravitated and found myself interested in and involved in the political arena, because it is one of the greatest ways to impact and positively, if done properly, positively impact the lives of other people. And I started at a young age in the Torchbearers. It was my first introduction to politics as a member of the Torchbearers Youth Association. Started just as a member, went and joined as a part of the public relations committee, making talking points for for candidates and members of the party when it came to issues affecting young people. I was then elevated by the then president to chairman of the Public Relations Committee of the Torchbearers. And then I went off to school. While I was off in school, the Torchbearers kind of went defunct a bit. We had lost an election and it kind of died out a bit. And so when I was coming back, the leadership of the party then had said, we want to restart the Torchbearers and jumpstart it. And they had tapped me to be a part of the steering committee to get the Torchbearers up and running. And so I that was my first real stint at the organizing and the building and development of the associations within the party, because we had to then work throughout the country. We're building associations in Grand Bahama, Inagua, Eleuthera, New Providence, Abaco. And then the president, the incoming president, had asked me to serve as her first vice president with oversight of associations in New Providence. And from there, the membership elevated me to president. I served two consecutive terms, and through the grace of God, we were able to build a strong, vibrant Torchbearers Youth Association, which, you know, I was very happy to see a number of the members that served with me and in my administration were candidates this election.
I noticed that.
And they will tell you that, you know, we came in under Carlisle. And so for me, I felt proud to know that the FNM is standing true and was standing true to its belief of the advancement and the promotion of young people. And using the Torchbearers as an incubator for talent within the party. And from there, I've always been a hardworking, active member of the Free National Movement.
Before this general election, our general election, I saw you via social media. You were in Jamaica watching their election.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get in Jamaica and involve in Jamaican politics?
So when I was the president of the Torchbearers, I took efforts to open dialogue and conversations with other regional youth political parties. And one of those was the Jamaica Labour Party, the JLP. At the time, it was the now president, Prime Minister Andrew Holness was just starting his venture into leadership. He was an extremely young prime minister, member of parliament, and it just captured my attention. And so I had reached out to the president of their youth arm in Young Jamaica. And I opened those conversations and just kind of stayed loosely in touch for about 10 years. And so when they had their most recent election, the young man who was the president was a campaign manager for a battleground seat in central Kingston. And so I reached out and I said, hey, I want to come by and just shadow you and just watch and observe. And he said, no problem. And I went over and I was able to move around in central Kingston and Raytown and Tivoli Gardens.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I know about Tivoli Gardens.
Everybody knows about Tivoli, right? Right. And so I was in Tivoli. I was moving around and it was a wonderful experience. And Jamaica's politics is very similar to ours in terms of the issues.
I was going to ask this. How is Jamaica's politics versus ours?
Yeah, the issues are similar. The structure of their politics is similar in terms of the political parties, and it was a really educational experience for me because they're a larger country in terms of population, and so the parties are a little larger in terms of infrastructure and how they do things, and so I was able to see what the FNM could be and how we can advance our party's infrastructure to be more involved on the ground, to be more empowering to the average Bahamian, and what is the message, and it really expanded my imagination and my thinking, and I think that is what sparked this drive to get back in the driver's seat, right? Because you're right, I did take quite a bit of a step back, and that just made me want to get back in.
Like I said, I noticed your youthful career
back
in the day when the the Thought Bearers Association and the Young Liberals were back and forth. They were very active going back and forth, right? In I would like to use the word friendly, combative way, but mm-hmm. it was fun and engaging, mm-hmm. but it was going back and forth. That's not happening so much nowadays where there is constant debate between the two youth arms mm-hmm. of the two major parties, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not sure if that's going to be anything in the future mm-hmm. happening, right? Where does the Torchbearers Association see themselves now, or where do you see them? Mm-hmm. People critique the FNM, say, man, the Young Liberals were active in this mm-hmm. this election. Mm-hmm. They were TikToking like mm-hmm. crazy. They were WhatsApping like crazy. You see, they were actively involved. And the FNM youth branch, not so much. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they weren't involved, mm-hmm. just not as proficient or in your face as the mm-hmm. Young Liberals. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who's the president. You give a shout out mm-hmm. now to make sure mm-hmm. they know.
Xavier knows is the current president.
Oh, yeah, I know Xavier. Sorry.
And I do want to push back a little bit on you.
Go ahead.
There, I do think that the young people in the Torchbearers have done a phenomenal job in carrying forth the mantle of the Torchbearers, and pushing the goals and the vision of the Torchbearers. I know they've expanded to Family Islands. They've worked with Family Islands, and ultimately, I think that what we are experiencing in politics in general is a general disinterest of young people in politics in general.
The PLP young liberals seem to be interested. They seem to be active. They TikToking. They dancing.
Yeah, I think
they're safe.
There will always be a level of interest, but the question is it at the level that it should be or could be?
Okay.
I do know that there is work to do with engaging young people, and not just young people of Torchbearer's age, but young professionals. These are people who are CFOs of companies,
yes.
who are business owners, who are interested in discussing policy, who are interested in discussing how do we take the Bahamas from where it is to the next step, to the next frontier, and not just tinkering on the edges, but full system change. How do we change the Bahamas to a place that works for young people, that works for ordinary Bahamians, as opposed to a select group of well-connected, well-financed, well-funded individuals? These are the things that people want to discuss. And unless a party is discussing those things, then people will look at you and say, man, y'all ain't serious. And so when I think of politics and when I think of the FNM of tomorrow, I think of a party that is tackling the fundamental issues that are holding Bahamians back, that is tackling the fundamental issues that are keeping people from achieving the prosperity that they want to achieve for them and their families. I think of the things that affect people day to day, healthcare. I speak about this all the time. These are core fundamental things that impact the lives of Bahamians. And that is what young people want to hear. Those are the conversations that people want to have. They don't want the petty politics that we see on Facebook with some of these social commentators.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have those discussions. We want to talk about the things that affect the lives of people. And when we do that, I think then we will start to see a greater interest of young people.
You've recently reclaimed your leadership role in your party. Right, you came out of the what I call the bushes of the Bahamas, right? And now you're in the forefront. They selected you to be the campaign. What do you call a person who's marshaled the rallies?
Oh, one of the MCs. The host MCs. For
you
the rally
you there. Seem to be like one of the leading MCs for the rally. Who approached you to do that? Why did they approach you to do that? Right. And you even claim a candidate and became the campaign general for a particular candidate, yeah. right? So I said, look at Kyle. Kyle is back. He's active. Yeah. I mean, and in the foreground of doing stuff, not being in the background managing things. You risk yourself. You put yourself to the fore and said, I will help push this agenda forward.
Yeah, I anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a lukewarm guy. I'm very, very, very hot or very, very cold. I'm either all in or I'm not in at all. Why? It's because when I put my name to something, when I put my hand to the plow, I give it my all. I fully commit. I'm that way in business. I'm that way on my job and my professional career. And I'm that way when it comes to politics and service to others. And so when the party had approached me, they were starting up the rallies into the season, and they were looking for, I guess they were looking for a young person who was dynamic, that had a control of the issues, that could connect to individuals. They had reached out to me and asked me to do it. And I gave it a lot of thought because I knew where I was professionally and I knew where I was going professionally. And I knew that this could impact that. You know, I'm a member of the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce. I meet with businesses all the time and business owners. And I knew that to do this means that there could potentially be some pushback, blowback in those spaces. But when I thought about it, I prayed about it, I got advice and guidance on it, and ultimately I felt as though when we looked at where we were in this country, when we looked at the state of healthcare, when we looked at the immigration crisis, when we looked at the state of our economy and the cost of living, I felt that it would be a dereliction of duty for me as a young person with a talent from God to sit back and do nothing. And so me being the guy that I am, who sees a problem and tries to offer a solution, I dived in and I dived in 2 feet first. It wasn't a test of water. It wasn't a, you know, one foot in, 1 foot out. In typical Carlisle fashion, I devoted my all to it. I gave the Free National Movement, this election campaign, my all on the rally stage and at the constituency ground level. And I'm happy. And I am happy with the level of fight that I saw from my party and from the people that sacrificed daily to show up for an election. It's not easy business.
On May 13th, you issued a letter. Mm-hmm. It says, a letter to my F&M family, we lost the election. I want to know the emotions that you were feeling, why you felt there is a need to address the national F&M, the whole family, and what was the purpose of the letter?
For anyone that's competed, that gives their all to something, you know, there's a deep level of pain and hurt that comes from losing. And there are a lot of questions and emotions. And I myself walked through those feelings and those emotions that night. And I didn't sleep. And I had to get my feelings and emotions out. And so I started to write and to type. And I said, you know, if I'm feeling this way, then I'm sure others are feeling this way as well. And so I wanted to speak to my F&M family and to the people that I know sacrificed just like me, fighting for something better for the country, to let them know that, yes, we lost, but all hope is not lost. And that there's always a better tomorrow, that the sun always rises at the end of the day. And so I wanted to speak to them and let them know, my family know, that we can do this and that we can rebuild. The F&M has come from dark days before. We've come from party splits before. We've come from elections that we thought we should have won but didn't win. We've come from that before. And in fact, we have come from a generation of F&Ms that were in opposition for over 20 years to make it to government. And so I wanted to let people know to yes, take time to grieve and to be sad and to go through those emotions, but don't give up and know that this country still needs the F&M. This country still needs the vision of the F&M. This country still needs an opposition that's going to fight for the prosperity, and that's going to fight for the growth, and for the ability for every Bahamian to achieve their dreams.
The F&M say they're the alternative to the PLP. You yourself proclaimed the F&M is going to win this election. That did not happen. I want you to describe the current F&M now. Mm-hmm. Right? And also, tell me what went wrong. Describe the current F&M, where the F&M stands, how the body feels about itself, where the body plans to do, and what the hell happened? What happened, man?
When the question of what happened, for a large part, depends on right now who you talk to in the circles that you are in. I've heard every number of things. I've heard it come down to the other side having more money, having the public treasury, having the numbers boys money, and now recently having drug money.
Look where you're going.
Having drug money. And so I've heard that. I've heard leadership. I've heard organization. We've heard a completely disorganized, horribly run, managed election from the PRD. And so there are a number of things that are up in the air right now as to the reason we lost. And that's why I think that the two things that the FNM should focus on doing sooner rather than later. One is a honest and truly independent third party postmortem.
Is that happening?
I believe there are discussions about it. It takes time to find out who is going to do it, the time frame, the scope, all of those things. That needs to happen. And then I agree with the leader in the statement that we need to go to a convention sooner rather than later to determine and chart the way forward.
Any talk about a convention happening anytime soon?
There are talks. Ultimately, the exact date and time will be determined by the Council of the Free National Movement. But it is something that should happen sooner rather than later. In terms of the state of the FNM, I think the FNM is in a state of self introspection, reflection, to look at what may have been in our control. Did we drop any balls? Where could we get better? I think there's a serious discussion about how do we better attract young people and new first-time voters to be not just voters for the FNM, but to be true members and active members of our base. And I think that's important because at the end of the day, CA, elections are won and lost by political parties. It is the machinery of the party that wins an election. It's what got us majority rule. It's what got us independence. It's what allowed the FNM to win in 1992 and win again in 1997. It's the machinery of the party. And so whatever the party decides to do, the focus must be on how do we strengthen the machinery of the party? How do we ensure that the associations are functioning the way they ought to be functioning? How do we ensure that the members of the party feel heard and listened to? How do we ensure that the leadership of the party is accountable to the membership of the party and that decisions are coming from the bottom up and not top down? How do we ensure that this Free National Movement is in the best shape that it can be to contest a general election whenever and wherever it may be, whether by-election or general election? Because at the end of the day, regardless of who the leader is and who the party that decides to be the leader, my focus and my emphasis is always on the state of the party, because it's like a vehicle, a car, and there has to be constant servicing and mechanic work done on the vehicle. Make sure the radiator awakened, make sure the wheels align, make sure the steering is good, so that whoever we put in the driver's seat has a good vehicle that they can drive to deliver the prosperity for people that people expect the FNM to deliver.
You mentioned machinery and you mentioned base. Anyone who's watching this election can pinpoint the PLP's base. Mm-hmm. And we're now questioning what exactly is the FNM base, especially when so many people are not turning out. And they're questioning, are the people who are not turning out to vote, are they a part of the FNM base? Or they are part of another area of people who just go back and forth, and that the FNM base is smaller than we always thought?
I do think the FNM base has shifted a bit. And I do think that the party does need to figure out where exactly that base is and what is the state of it. I do believe that we had a number of individuals we know for a fact that a number of individuals stayed home. About 30%, 35% or so stayed home of registered voters. Thousands of individuals. I am of the firm belief that those are individuals that have either previously identified as an FNM or are leaning towards the FNM. And the FNM, for whatever reason, was not able to bring those individuals out or get them to identify with the message of the Free National Movement. And so when it comes to the base, there needs to be some repair work done. There needs to be some honest conversation about what is the state of our base and how do we get it back to the level that we are accustomed to it being. And I do believe that a large part of that is our connection to young people, new first-time voters, and ensuring that they are aware of the mission and vision of the FNM to expand private ownership, to expand the prosperity of individuals, to ensure that the country is working in a way that when they apply themselves, they have the equal opportunity to do well and to achieve all that God has put in them to achieve. But those things only happen when you have a political party that values those lofty goals and does the things necessary daily in opposition and in government to make sure that the environment exists for that to happen. Those things don't just happen by mistake. They don't happen automatically. It requires individuals getting involved in the trenches to ensure that people are in place to ensure that those things happen.
Do you have any executive position inside the FNM at this present time?
I'm currently an assistant treasurer within the Free National
Movement. You collect money. But in terms of management and moving in directions, you're not in that role at this present time?
No.
If a role come available, would you consider pursuing something like that? If anything comes, and you're going to convention soon, all of the positions will be available. You can't just be counting money and expect to lead and direct the path of the FNM by just counting money.
Yes, all positions would become available at convention. And I would be open to serving in whatever capacity the party would have me serve in. I'm a party man. I believe in the purpose of political parties. I believe in the power of them to impact the lives and improve the environment that we as Bahamians live. And so I am here to serve in whatever capacity that I can. And I am excited for the future of the FNM and for a vibrant convention where all positions are contested.
We're talking to Kyle Bethel, who's a treasurer, assistant treasurer assistant in treasurer. The FNM right now. We're talking about his future. We're talking about his career as a politician in the front line, back line politics. I see the lines are lit up. Some people want to ask you some questions. Sure. But it's concentrating the conversation on Kyle himself and where he sees the FNM and what can he do to improve the FNM, not just the FNM base in general, because people like talk politics on my show. They'll talk about Pintad all day and beat you. It's the same thing, right?
Let's hear
him. I ought to call her because I get a pretext. Okay, call us back. Kermit, connect that caller to speak to Kyle Bethel for me, please. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Yeah, good morning, CA. Good morning, Carlisle. How is everybody?
Good morning. Doing well.
Carlisle, I wanted to get your opinion on your assessment of this. You know, the last two elections that the FNM have been conducted, the FNM has failed to win 10 seats in each one of those elections.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to something fundamentally wrong with the mechanism, as you speak to, of the party itself. This is a party that was in governance, you know, two consecutive terms in the 90s and then two alternate terms in the 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And so I am rather dismayed, quite frankly, as a citizen, to see the FNM at the level it's at right now,
mm-hmm.
and trying to grasp as to why that is,
mm-hmm.
given the many missteps that the government made in the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now to, you know, we understand the COVID, the anger of the COVID and Dorian responses, especially COVID more so that plagued the FNM in the election under Dr. Minnis when the FNM only won, what, 7 or 8 seats. But to come back again and follow that up with another disastrous performance speaks to, you know, what true assessments are being done to ensure that these same problems don't persist over the next 5 years heading into the next general election.
Thank you for that question. And really the question, so I understand it, is saying, you know, well, what went wrong and why have we lost two consecutive elections and the by-elections in between? And truthfully, I think there's a combination of things. In 2021, we saw a drastic dip in voter turnout. Prior to that, we were up in the 80s, 90s. In 2021, that dipped to 60s, and it's kind of remained there since then. And so I do believe that a large portion of that, the majority of that, are FNM votes. I believe that fundamentally. I believe that the FNM has made some missteps in terms of how do we handle internal conflict at times. I believe that...
Let's fight publicly. I know all the FNM business.
We are a passionate bunch.
We are a passionate bunch.
And I'll tell you this, and I think that sometimes that passion and that jousting of ideas leads to better governance when we are in power.
You say this is a good thing? That's what I heard. You say it just now, it's a good thing.
No, I think there's some good that comes out of a well-managed process where ideas can flourish and open minds and conversation can be heard equally. I think that leads to a good thing. It becomes a bad thing when we allow passions to take control, and instead of and allowing feelings to control the room, then yeah, that's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing where we don't really look at conflict resolution and making sure that everybody feels heard and appreciated and valued. Because at the end of the day, politics is a volunteer activity. And members of the Free National Movement are doing this voluntarily. And so we must always appreciate that and appreciate the people that sacrifice their time to come out and even offer their passionate views, because they could stay home. But the fact that they are out there and they're coming out there explaining their views and feelings says something. And I believe that the FNM currently is operating in an outdated model that worked for 1992, that worked for 1997. And we have to do some tinkering, and we have to do some remodeling, we have to do some rebuilding to make this political organization one that is built for, that is built by the people of today. How does the organization address the issues of today? And I would say, for example, right now in the FNM, there's a disciplinary committee. Whenever there's arguments or disagreements, you go to a disciplinary committee. And it goes to discipline.
So the leader don't discipline people?
I mean, there's a committee that deals with that.
I did not know. Right?
I would argue that maybe there should be a conflict resolution committee in the FNM as well, which is not about discipline, but it's about understanding where the conflicts stem from and how we can find common ground, because not every disagreement requires discipline. And so things like that, which make the organization more palatable to the average person to come in and get involved, is what I think we need today. And I think that would be how we build the FNM for the future.
I don't know your age. I know you're younger than me.
Yeah.
Right? Because I just watch you
I'm 33.
Oh, you're mad now.
33.
I knew you when you was in high school.
Yes, sir.
At QC. And I know when you went off to college. I know you was in the Torchbearers. I have you as a young man, right? Mm-hmm. Is there space for a man, woman, mm-hmm. 33, mm-hmm. 30, before, under 40 mm-hmm. in the FNM and leadership roles mm-hmm. where people will listen to you and make room mm-hmm. to say, let me hear mm-hmm. someone at 30, 35, professionals at 30, 35, mm-hmm. Give them room to give their ideas?
Most definitely. The FNM has always been a party that has welcomed young people and young ideas. Innovative ideas. No. We were the first party to start a youth association. The Torchbearers Youth Association was the first recognized youth association, any political party in this country. And so that is a fundamental ingrained belief within the Free National Movement. In fact, at the last convention we had record numbers of young people that ascended to leadership positions within the national executive of the Free National Movement. If you look at our most recent slate of candidates, many of those young people came from the Torchbearers and were young candidates. Today we have a young senator, Senator Dr. Trevor Johnson, who is a lead spokesman for the party and for the opposition in the Senate. We have a young Lincoln Deal that's in the House of Assembly that was given a shot at representation. He is now in the House of Assembly. The FNM fundamentally believes in the advancement of young people. What I think needs to be done is we need to continue on that path. And in fact, we need to push more on that path to further elevate young people, to further pull out the ideas, to further support the innovative solutions that young people have, and push young people to the forefront even more. Because that is the way that we can grow our base. That is the way that we can strengthen our base. That is the way that we can become the formidable political force that this country is used to seeing.
Formidable political force that this country is used to seeing. Let's go to the callers. I'm not even going to comment on that. I'm going to go to the callers and have them comment on what you said just now. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Khalil Beth with us. He said he's a part of the future. It's a number of dynamic FNMs around his age who wants to join in the foreground and be actively involved in the party to give new ideas, new vision, new innovation, and direction of the party. What says you, caller?
Good morning to both of you, especially Mr. Bethel.
Good morning, sir.
Nuri, you could correct me if I go off track with my numbers, eh? Mm-hmm. Mr. Bethel is looking at issues of the day, and I'm pretty sure he knows the amount of persons who are born in Princess Margaret or born in the Bahamas who are undocumented. I'm pretty sure he knows that number. I doubt he does. But in any way, you know that there's about 25,000, oh, no, not that much, but 2,500 graduates in the government school. And I would say 40 to 65% of them are of other nationalities, and they are going to be presented with an opportunity to get their citizenship by you or the PLP, and whoever presented that opportunity, which is obligated to them because they reach 18, they're going to vote for them. So I want you to go back in time and look at the numbers of persons who are now able to vote PLP because they are obligated to that party, and they are born PLP. Are you looking at these numbers to see how bad the FNM may be beaten the next time? Because those persons, most of them did not even come out to vote this time, based on my figures. Are you looking at how terrible it's going to be looking later on down the road when those individuals come out in force and their parents?
Okay, let me pretext that. Once upon a time, circa 92 to 97, the FNM was, at one point in time, critiqued that they were the party for the immigrants, that the immigrants loved the FNM over the conservative, and they keep putting the word conservative PLP, who it was traditionally pro-Bohemian. Things seem to have been switched, where there is a narrative of saying that we have a large immigrant population. When I say immigrant, first-generation Bohemian, let me say that. That's a better word. We have a first-generation Bohemian who now have to choose between two major political parties, and they're trying to find out which political party addresses their issues and concern, right? A number of people thought that the FNM jumped on the bandwagon of the COI. I'm not sure if that's true. I'm just saying what the narrative is. And that the PLP was a party that allowed these first-generation Bohemians, because these are Bohemians we're talking about. And I want to know, where is the FNM stands on moving forward, dealing with these first-generation Bohemians?
You know, I understand the concern of the caller, but I have to fundamentally disagree with the premise. The premise that any individual is guaranteed to vote for a political party. People vote for the party that they believe has their best interests at heart. I have seen hardcore PLPs vote FNM. I've seen hardcore FNMs vote PLP. We are dealing with individuals and humans who have dreams, who have ambitions, who have problems and struggles. And they are no less human than you and I. And the same way that you have dreams that you pursue, CA, and I have dreams that I pursue, they have dreams as well. And so we in the FNM have to speak to the dreams and aspirations of young people and Bohemians throughout this country. I'll tell you, right now, people believe that we live in a country where the only way to advance is to be tied up in some form of corrupt deal. Mm. They believe that corruption is a mandatory, is a necessary act to make it to the next level in this country. That is a shame. That's an indictment on this country.
But hard work doesn't pay.
But that's what many of them believe. They believe that hard work doesn't pay. And quite frankly, I I understand the cry and the pain of people who say that. Because when we see, when we see individuals who start in illegal businesses, who are elevated to the highest offices because they were because they broke the law big enough to buy themselves legality and to buy a Dolly House gaming board regulator that doesn't even require them to submit annual audited public financial statements to see what all they actually engage in. When people see that, it leads them to say, well, that's the way to do it, eh? It leads them to say, well, that's the way you make it in this country, eh? We have to build a country. We have to build a country where hard work pays off and people believe that. And we have to build a country where the government works for people, where we can provide an environment where individuals can make it based on their dreams and their hard work and their ideas. You know how many young people I know who have ideas that submit to regulators and they don't get a response because they ain't got the money or the connections to get a response? It's a crying shame. And that is the problem.
You sound like you're starting politicking now on my show. You're starting the politic there, Kyle. Okay, let me just text me, go to the call, the phone line. Says, Bethel is a bright spot in the F&M. This one says, I love Carlisle. I think he is a dynamic young man with a very bright political future in the leadership of this country. This one says, hi, Carlisle. Now is the time to target the young voters, get them involved as torchbearers. I have watched persons like yourself, Lincoln and Mitchell, and others grow up through the torchbearers and look where they are at. They all are at. Y'all get those boots back on the ground and try welcome the youths into the fold because they are tomorrow's future. Let me read one more before I go to this commercial break. The PLP offer contracts, no bids, gifts. That's why. Says the failure of the F&M has been the CEO, chairman of the party, has failed for two cycles to build the infrastructure branches for the party. There is no real branches existing in our party. This failure has been catastrophic and should be put at the feet of the DOE's chairman. We'll take this quick commercial break right now and come back speaking to Carlisle Bethel, who is assistant treasurer. I can give you a position of the F&M. We'll be talking about him at the future of the F&M and where he stands and where young people like him stands in building the party. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We have Mr. Kala Bethel, who's in studio with me. Let me read these two texts and go to the phone lines. So it's good morning, CA, and my friend Carlisle. We in Central and South Eleuthera ran a good, clean campaign, but the money that flooded the streets caused lots of our supporters not to show up to vote. But Ms. Philippa Kelly, shout out to Ms. Philippa Kelly, I guess.
Shout out to Ms. Philippa Kelly.
Ms. Philippa Kelly is still working, and we will be back just as strong. Carlisle, after that motorcade and rally the FNM had in Savannah Sound just before the election caused the money to flow in Central and South Eleuthera. Let's go to the phone lines, and we'll go back to the text. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. We talk to Mr. Carlisle Bethel, who's here talking about young people in the FNM, the way forward, and what he plans to do. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Am I live?
You are live, yes, sir.
Yes, can I? What is your topic for today? Or is it open line?
No, it's not open line. We're talking to Carlisle Bethel, who's in studio. We're talking about the youth in the FNM and people like his age, his ilk. What can they do in the party?
Call in your show. I'm a long time listener, second time caller. But to address Mr. Carlisle, Bethel, what I dislike is, in this country, is with all the important issues that is happening in this country, we are focusing on why the FNM lost. But we are not focused on the events that transpired in this country. Right at the election day, we are not focused on that. We are focused on why the FNM lost. Why do we keep changing the narrative or the goalposts? We are a country that we noticed or we viewed the swearing-in ceremony yesterday or the speech from the throne. We should feel sad about what happened yesterday because the international people are looking at us as based on what happened in the papers, the story in the papers 2 days ago about the cocaine files and all these other important issues. We are focused on why the FNM lost. Let me say this. Michael Pendard or nobody else, the people who decided not to vote, couldn't put no gun to nobody, had to go vote. Secondly, we see the things that the PLP did to have their base come out to vote. Okay? We also know that the FNM has some spiteful people who, if they can't leave, they will tear the party down. Okay? Let us focus on the issues that really matters. Like this country, what we are doing in this country, what we are allowing to do in this country, what happened, the chaos that happened with the register, all these things we are trying to fix. Be worried about why the FNM lose. The FNM should be able to fix their business.
Yeah, I think the caller expresses a deep frustration with the way the country works. And I think that's what we're hearing. We're hearing the frustration around the fact that we can't even hold an organized election with the parliamentary registry. And he's absolutely correct. That was the most chaotic election that I've ever participated in. I think that the caller is expressing frustration in the fact that we have a government that has been politician one that seems in more interested in hiding and protecting individuals that have been that have been said to be a part of cocaine deals. We saw a political party which, as he said, put money on the ground, but the question was, where did the money come from? The question was drug money involved in that money that was on the ground? Was it illegal no-bid contracts that was a part of that money on the ground? Was it the numbers cartel that they have built up and protected via a monopoly for years that put money on the ground? And so when we speak about the frustration of people, I fully agree with that caller. Because guess what? When we speak about that numbers industry, it is absolutely egregious. It is an abomination. The fact that an industry that large and apparently that lucrative can be protected for about 4 or 5 individuals via a protected monopoly and a moratorium on licenses, and then for the discussion to even be entertained, to even be entertained about extending that moratorium, that pisses me off too. Because guess what? One last point, CA. One last point.
You're getting political again.
One last point, CA.
Go ahead.
And so when I heard in the speech from the throne, they spoke about anti-competitive legislation. I fully agree. Let's start with the numbers industry. Let's start. So if me and you, CA, want to start a numbers house, if it's so good, why we can't start one? Why can't we invest on it on BIS6 in a public stock exchange? Why is this reserved for a handful of blessed people? So yeah, I fully get the caller's frustration. I'm frustrated about it too. I think the difference though is I'm willing to get involved and to do what I can to change it. And so I encourage all people who are listening, all people who are frustrated, yeah, come and get involved. Come to the FNM. We are on your side and we are fighting to change these issues that have been vexing the Bahamian people for years, for generations.
Let me read some of these texts before we go to the last call. It says, Carlisle should be the party's chairman of... Carlisle should be the chairman of the party. Oh, wow. I believe he has heart, character, and can attract the young people. Someone trying to push you to be chairman of the FNM. CA, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what Carlisle is saying. He seems to be not afraid. Why are you not saying anything about your dad, former Attorney General? Big up to your dad. Carlisle, is it true that Earl Thompson was in charge of communication and campaign or part of the person who... Okay, they wouldn't talk about FNM business. Okay, the FNM has, for the last decade, had no real person at the front of the party speaking to and explaining ideas and policies in charge of messaging economic future of the Bahamas and for Bahamians under the FNM and more. Just pointing at the failures of the PLP by some form of COI, Bill for Tomorrow. They're saying that nobody explained what happened, right? You're just... preaching to the people, but not coming out and explaining. Mm-hmm. Let's go to these callers, and then you can engage those callers. Guardian Radio AM, I'm giving time for you to address Carlisle Bethel. Go ahead, caller. Call you there? Let's move on to the next one. Go ahead, caller. I'm giving you time to speak to Carlisle Bethel. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a good morning, CA, and good morning to you again.
Good morning.
CA, I spoke to this particular issue with the involvement of a younger generation in political parties. Mr. Nine Show several weeks ago, and I referenced the current president of the Christian Council address on Majority Rule Day, when he encouraged both parties to include 30% of your candidates should be at least under 40, at least 35, or at least under 40. And I'm hoping that the FNM, the PLP, the COI, all the major political parties, because he referenced the fact that Sir Lyndon Pinley became prime minister at age 35. You know, so you know you need both the young and the old. You need the wisdom, and you need the innovation and so on of the young people. So I hope that the leadership takes the young man's advice. And I listened to one of the young fellow from the Democratic Party, you know, and they said they keep trying to tell the older guys how to do this thing, but they, you know, they ain't listen. So that's why they lost. So anyhow, Mr. B, I wish you all the best.
Thank
and hope
you,
to see more of you in the upcoming future as you. I'm sure you have a part to play in the development of the Bahamas.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your words of encouragement. I fully agree that we do need to encourage and facilitate and support the advancement and the involvement of young people in politics all around.
Okay, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead. Just sum up.
30 seconds to close out.
Yeah.
I want to say to the Bahamas, stay engaged, stay involved in the political process. Hold the government's feet to the fire. I want to say to my FNM family, be not discouraged. Hold your head up. Tomorrow is always another day. And through commitment, through organization, through discipline, through the shared passion for a better Bahamas, we will become all that we are able and capable of being. And I want to encourage all of the young people throughout the Bahamas to get involved. Get involved, get involved. There's a place for you in the FNM.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carlisle Bethel. I hope to see you again soon on the radio.
Thank you so much.
I guess you said there's space for people around your age, youth, innovation. I wait to see what the FNM responds to what you said and what the people are calling for. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much again, Kyle Bethel. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.